We're three young white dudes talking about what's in the news, sports, science, film reviews, but really mostly dicks and boobs. Welcome to the Probably Sounds Awful podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Probably Sounds Awful podcast. This one's a little bit special. I am one of your hosts, Leo Albert Kovlik Jr. You're kind of used to my voice. Brian and Josh are still in LA right now, so we're going to do a little something special. I have two hosts with me, a couple co-hosts we have. I know them very well. You don't whatsoever. To my right, I have my lovely mom, Veronica. Veronica, hello.
Hello. How are you?
How am I? I'm good. And to Veronica's right, we have my lovely dad, Tom. Tom, hello.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing out there in LA land?
I love it. So we have a podcast, Probably Sounds Awful. You can find us on www.normallynormal.com, or you can check us out on iTunes. We can find that through our website or on Twitter at normally_norm. So thank you, Mom and Dad, for sitting down and doing this with me.
You're welcome, hon.
We bring up topics, we bring new topics, we talk, we do reviews, we do fun stuff like that. But basically what's going on in the news that day, or what we want to talk about movies a lot, Dad. I know you like movies. Yep. Mom, I know you like gymnastics. I'm just throwing that out there. No? You don't like gymnastics?
Nope, not gymnastics.
Oh, goodness.
I thought you were going to say cooking.
Cooking? Well, cooking's good. I saw a cooking hack on the internet the other day, which is if you're trying to cook over a stove and you don't have a way to hang your cookbook, take a pants hanger, open up to the page you want, hang it over one of those tabs, and there you go.
I've seen that on Pinterest.
Yeah. What do you use to cook, Mom? You know what? No, let's talk about this. I know exactly how you use to cook. You have a giant recipe book that is going to either Teresa, who is, for those listening, I've said multiple times, my sister. It's either going to her or me. Her or me. Who's it going to?
We're going to duplicate it so you each can have a copy.
There we go. So we do topics normally. I'm not going to spend too much of your time because I'm here. You were nice enough to let me stay in your house for a couple days. What was that?
No problem.
No problem. So you're nice enough to let me stay in your house for a couple days. By the way, beautiful house here in Springfield, Virginia, where I grew up. So the topic for today is something that I've always never, I don't know, it's just never come up. It's never something that you, I feel like, and this happens to a lot of people, something you don't talk to your parents about, is like, how the hell was I as a kid? And also, how did you two meet? Because that's something that's so interesting to me that as, you know, knowing you two, I've known you since such a young age. I was two.
You were two.
So let's start with that topic. Let's jump right into that. My topic for you two is, how did you guys meet?
Well, let me start. Your mom and I met across the table at a church meeting for separated and divorced Catholics.
Okay. See, again, this is why I want to do this, because I had no idea.
Yeah. We were looking at what can be done and what we could do, etc. I'll be right up front. When I looked across the table and I saw your mom, I said, that's the lady for me.
Yes.
She is the cutest thing. And she was very positive in her words that night with the group. And she was very forceful. She was, which sounds funny because she hadn't taken the Toastmasters tour yet, but she was really great about putting forward her thoughts. And I looked at her and I said, wow, she is really cute.
Nice. And I think, and that's something that you just had mentioned, Dad, that you take Toastmasters, Mom.
Yes. Because
you were not a fan of public speaking.
I was never a fan of public speaking. No. And I joined Toastmasters in 2005 when I got promoted because I was sure they were going to call on me to do some briefings. And it was just devastating, the thought of having to do a briefing. So I joined Toastmasters. I've been with them about 11 years. So, oh, no, 15 years.
Yeah, 15.
15 years.
So knowing you, that comes from the matter of work. But I think you're pretty good, and obviously what Dad just said, you're pretty good at talking about matters of the heart.
Yeah.
About, like, when it comes to, like, Teresa and myself and yourself, if you need to say something, you say it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what Dad is speaking of, that yeah. You just, apparently, this night, we were just opened up, and that
Well, that, I mean, that surprised me. Yeah. You said that. I've never heard, I mean, that just shocks me because I thought I would be at the table with my head down and probably didn't say more than two words, but that I came across as positive just really shocked me.
Was there wine there? Hold on. This is a this could be another question.
No alcohol in the church.
But that's surprising. Your mom was real positive, and from that point on, because I didn't know mom's address, I had to get her address through the church group.
Okay, so for those listening right now, this is back in, do you care to give a date?
At 1986.
So 1986. Yep. Let's talk no cell phones, no internet. No, today it's very easy. I could probably, he could probably find it on Facebook. Yeah. This is when it was a challenge to get somebody's number. Or address. I like that you went right for address. I like that you went right for address. You're not like, let's find her number first.
I went right for the address. And then your mom was talking about probably having to move. Mm-hmm. So I said, how am I going to meet this lady on a constant basis? Mm-hmm. So I went to every supermarket I could find to find boxes. And I found boxes at work. And I would bring boxes over to your house to give to her. And I'd leave boxes sometimes out by the mailbox so that she would have boxes to use to, for filling stuff for moving. And that's how I kept on getting to see your mom.
So this is in 1986. Was this when we were moving to
Maryland? This was after we had come back from Japan.
Okay.
I had come back from Japan with you and Teresa. And I was in the house in Woodbridge. And I knew at that point that funds was stopping and I didn't have money to stay in the house. I had to move closer to work.
Yeah.
And that's when I was in the process of moving to the townhouse.
Because I don't remember any of this, obviously.
Well, like, you were only
even
two.
Yeah, I know. I was only two. And even Teresa probably doesn't remember a lot of this.
Five. Yeah.
But I can still remember one of the things you really loved to do when I came over to the house. I wanted to talk to your mom, but you really loved to do this. I had paper computer boxes, you know, that you put the paper in.
Yeah.
You would want to sit in that box. I'd pull you around the room like a truck. And you just had a ball doing that.
And all you wanted to do was talk to mom. So.
I was chugging you around the room, and you were having a fun time doing that. Mm. There was really a ball. But the other thing I remember very distinctly at that time period of not only your age, but Teresa's age, because she was five, was being introduced to a play she was in where she was a... I think a Daisy.
But yes.
She was Teresa?
Yeah.
Okay. That was at KinderCare.
KinderCare. She was dressed up as a Daisy with a big Daisy around her face and everything else. I think I got pictures somewhere. I'm sure we got pictures of everything. But, you know, where to find them is the most difficult thing. Mm. We have to organize. So, but that was... of that age time period, that were the two things I distinctly remember both of you at that age. You wanting to get moved around in the box like a car.
Well, I apologize to get in the way of what became a marriage.
Yeah, but you know, that was so much fun. And then your mom finally moved over to Waldorf, and I still lived in Woodbridge.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a long-distance relationship because it was 50 miles from my house to your house.
I was going
to
say, for those that don't know this area, 50 miles is a lot, wherever you are. With so that's, traffic, yeah, that's with traffic, especially with traffic. In D.C. and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd travel over to your mom's townhouse there to meet with you guys. But one time, it was summertime, and you were, I think you were a little bit more than three. Maybe three and a half. And you were learning to doing swimming, and it was in the swimming pool. But you wouldn't jump into the pool. And you would stand on the side of the pool and look in there and say, no, not me. And I finally convinced you, because I was down below.
Because you got in the pool.
I got in the pool. And I would say, Leo, just jump. I will catch you. I swear I will catch you. And you finally had enough trust to jump into the pool, and I caught you, and we, you know, moved around the pool and had fun. And from then on, you had no fear about jumping into the pool.
It was amazing. And it's, that's pretty amazing, because, Mom, you, it took me one time, and you said, the instructor said what?
Well, I was at work, and I had made the decision that it would be better if I just separated myself and put you and Teresa in swimming lessons.
Yeah.
Because that way, especially you, you were younger, you were trying to hold on to me. And the instructor said, well, it's better if you just kind of leave. So I did. I went to work and came home. And I said, well, how did he do? And she said, well, he did fine, but he didn't get wet. And I said, well, how did he do swimming lessons and not get in the water? She said, well, we're working on it.
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out. And that's funny that it took you to come, and probably the instructor may have done the same thing. And I was like, no, who are you? But you had come.
Yeah. I was standing in the water and said, Leo, just jump. Just jump. I'll catch you, honest.
And in your head, it's probably like, please just jump. Let's get over this. Let's just get this done.
Yeah. And you finally jumped.
Yep. And from that point on,
you had no fear about jumping into the water. Yeah.
See, that's so interesting that I wanted to ask you guys this, because in my mind, I didn't really, as a kid or what was going on, I didn't really know. I remember a couple times in the townhouse.
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys knew that, but even before that. And then obviously we're moving to Springfield together. I had no idea in my mind as a kid that you had known each other before this. You had known each other.
Oh yeah.
That. So that's why I wanted to know, because I've never known this. You know, it's not something you ask normally in this situation.
Well, I was in the townhouse 6 years
mm-hmm.
before, and we dated that
we
whole
dated
time.
For 6 years.
Wow.
For 6 years before we got married.
See, to me, I almost as a kid didn't even know about Woodbridge House. I could not describe it. I could not.
Yeah. So, the Woodbridge House.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able
that's,
to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like there's a lot of things I feel like I remember as a kid, but I don't.
You wouldn't.
Well, you were there such a short time.
Yeah, and even 6 years. 6 years to me in that house, I seemed like that was where we lived forever.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's where I was born and grown up and did the whole thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we, Mom and I dated for 6 years.
I had no, that's so interesting. I had no idea, because all of a sudden I just remember, and obviously not all of a sudden, but this is something that happened. And, you know, how did Springfield come about? Like, how did the move to Springfield
It was kind of funny, because to get to that point, we had to convince Mom to get married.
Yep.
And
convince why?
Well, it took you kids to convince her to get married and say, you know, let's get this family together.
Yeah.
And
because you had family and kids family of your own.
It would have been a blended family. And you and Teresa and Julie and Eric, and Michelle, she was older.
Yeah.
But she was there. She wasn't that much older. All convinced, you know, ganged up on Mom, put this together.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Let's do this. And Mom finally consented to do it. And thank God she did.
Yeah.
And we've been together for close to 25 years this fall.
Man.
My biggest fear was, because I had gone through, you know, the divorce. Mm-hmm. And I was financially having a really tough time. And I thought, this is it. I'm never doing it again. I'm finished.
Yeah.
So that was my biggest biggest concern, but it all worked
but,
out.
But we went on lots of trips. Mom was in her car, or was in my car, the van. Or not the van, but the Mazda at the time. Mm-hmm. And
Maroon Mazda with the car phone that I remember eventually.
That's right, that car phone stuck in there.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the early car phones.
Yeah.
And we went on lots of trips. Taking you kids to lots of different parks and stuff like that. We went to like Natural Bridge down in Southern Virginia.
Well,
you guys love those trips.
It's funny that you might have gone on all these trips. We might have gone and we had a great time. The one trip I remember you going on is when there was nobody around and you all went on some cruise. Some babysitter was taking care of me, and I forever now have a scar on my nose from that trip.
I was living in the townhouse, and I had, I forget who the babysitter, I had a teenager babysitter watching me.
By the way, let's just say she earned her paycheck that day.
I know. Unfortunately, we were right here in D.C. It was a dinner cruise.
Yeah.
It was not gone for weeks. Yeah. We had gone out for dinner.
I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here. I'm just saying it's so weird that we went on all this stuff, but the one that I remember that destroyed my nose and face.
Oh, well, it was just an unfortunate timing, I guess. Yeah. The accident happened, but we were out in the Potomac. Yeah, we were just here in the Potomac for dinner, and then we were coming back home.
Yeah.
And all this happened. You fell off your bike and hit
I was running around a car. Somebody was chasing me, and I didn't have my shoelaces tied.
Oh.
And they stomped on my foot, and she stomped on my foot, obviously, and it wasn't moving. And I just face planted into that metal sewer.
All happened the night we were out.
Yeah. And all I remember is Teresa freaking out, the babysitter freaking out, and then Aunt Ellen showing up at some time, maybe like 20 minutes later, probably with the ambulance or something. Yeah. And it was like taking me to the hospital and then you eventually showing up. But it's funny how we went on all these trips and that's the one I remember, unfortunately.
Well, that was something like that you'd never
forget. You were right. Back then you didn't have the communications that you have today.
Right. Cell phone.
We didn't even know until we got off the ship.
That's right.
We didn't have the cell phone.
Yeah, like today's you would have gotten a text or something. Yeah. And then you would have been able to tell the captain, oh my goodness, there's an emergency. Get me on the side boat or because a cruise like that might have had another ship to get off on.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Or not, or just wait it out. But
I just remember something, you know, happened to Vincent, and I'm sure he never forgot that.
Yeah.
They were throwing a party at their house.
Mm-hmm. Vincent is your sister's son.
Son, right.
Yeah.
I mean, just shows you how accident happened. They were all ready for the party. He come flying down the steps. He was so excited because people were coming.
Oh.
And she had just cleaned the sliding glass door.
Oh.
And he ran right through it and cut his arm here. I mean, it was really close.
Where you're pointing, Mom, is almost a spot of where you do not want to get cut because that's an open vein.
The doctor said, you are so lucky. Of course, I had to drive him because his father was at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Police officers. I had to drive him. Aunt Ellen was in the car with him. And my dad, who had had a stroke, decided he needed to go too. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm driving the car and I got the baby in there with his arm just bleeding.
Yeah.
And how young was Vincent?
He really wasn't a baby. He was probably about 8 years old, seven or eight.
And that's kind of the same age I was, right? When it happened to me.
Yeah.
Young enough to not know how to determine what's going on and not old enough to be like, okay, I'm going to be fine. Right. Things are going to be okay.
Of course, my job, I said, I'll drive because I didn't have you guys then. So I was the driver.
Yeah.
And Dad decided he needed to go because he was going to help. But I guess he was there for emotional support. So he was with us. But we managed to get him to the emergency room. Yeah. That happened with Aunt Ellen. And then Aunt Ellen turned around and helped you.
And there it goes. It was a little bit of give or take.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, Aunt Ellen having four kids.
Right.
So another situation. But I'm so curious about like just how Springfield. Just like why Springfield.
Okay.
Like why?
Let me take that one and I'll let you add to it.
Yeah.
When we selected Springfield, we both decided we didn't want to live in Maryland. You have to go to certain areas in Maryland to get a decent neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted good schools for you. And we knew that parts of Maryland wouldn't offer it.
Now, again, someone who has not lived in this area for a long time, Woodbridge is Virginia?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Woodbridge is Virginia.
But we selected Springfield because it was a central point for me to get to work and for Dad to get to work in Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
So it made all the sense. I was going to Suitland around the Beltway, and he was going up around Tyson's.
Mm-hmm.
Around so it was a central point, and we knew that Fairfax County and Virginia had good school systems.
Yeah.
And that's what was the most important thing at that time.
Yeah.
Wasn't this place under construction when we moved here?
No.
It was already constructed.
So Afton Glen was constructed.
Yes.
See, Afton Glen was built in what year?
86.
Okay.
And we didn't come here until 1991.
I was going to say, 91 was going to be my guess.
Yeah. 91 is right. Yeah. And there was another, we were not the first owners.
Mm-hmm.
There was another owner in this house.
Oh, really? There was. I remember that.
Prior owner.
They were a nice Asian couple, right?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Or were they Indian?
No.
Asian.
She was Asian.
Okay.
He was American.
Caucasian. Oh, okay. Okay. Because I remember the house looked so different than it does now. What you guys have done to it.
We've upgraded this whole area to what it was before. But we selected this area because it was easy commuting getting to work.
Yeah.
Rather than going all the way to Woodbridge would have added another 45 minutes.
So for those that live in Virginia, this is even before the parkway was built.
That's correct.
And that was still
easy
to get to work? Because obviously 95 has always been there, which is the big highway that you would get there.
That's how I would take 95 and then to 495.
Okay, because I remember a couple days, and this is still in my memory, that Mom would not be able to go to work because you had to do some crazy Who's Road. Again, this is very Virginia topical conversation, but you had to do, and I'm in my hand motion for those listening, I'm making a crazy dip, almost like a roller coaster.
It was.
Go down, and when you get icy and it's black ice, you can't ride
that. That's the old Who's Road.
That was outside the corner here. So
For us.
Half a mile down the road, mile and a half down the road.
Yeah.
And during the wintertime when the ice was there, the people at the top would have to stop to let the people at the bottom come up.
Mm-hmm.
Then the people at the bottom would stop and let somebody come down from the top.
Jeez.
Because otherwise, everybody was sliding all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's the way they used to pass.
And I remember one morning getting to the top of that hill, and I decided just getting to the top of that hill that I was not going to work.
Yeah.
Somehow, I was going to turn around and come home.
Mm-hmm.
It took me almost, I'd say, a good hour to drive about 5 minutes and get home because of the ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's one thing that is pretty funny you guys shows us, because then if we moved here in 91, 5 years after, we had a massive blizzard.
Yeah.
So welcome to Springfield, basically.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of ice storms, too. There were ice storms with 2.5 inches of ice on the road.
Yeah.
You didn't drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, ice is, I mean, I don't mind driving in snow, but I refuse to get out in the ice.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
And that's what I remember as a kid. And also, I remember moving here, and the house was full. We had you.
Yep.
We had, obviously, you, Mom.
Right.
So we had Mom, Dad, Eric, Julie.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, myself, and Teresa.
Teresa, yep. That's correct.
In a 3-bedroom house?
No.
Four?
Four.
Okay.
Girls took the bedroom.
Was it really a bedroom at that point? Because I remember it being a living room.
Well, it wasn't a living room. It was originally used by the former owners. She was a
beautician.
So it was a wall there that blocked off the big portion of the room. And it had an open section to it.
I remember that little window,
Yes.
And Teresa and Julie had that space down there because the rest of it was, I guess, open.
It was just the opposite. That space that we now have as a family room was the bedroom, and the other side was kind of like the family room.
Yeah, so I remember it being like a massively long, like just weird tile, like white tile floor. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And
played Nintendo there. I remember,
we finally switched
that wall and had it switched so the girls had the bedroom, a bigger bedroom on the other side, and that became the family room.
So,
another reason we did that, because you couldn't claim it as a bedroom if you didn't have a window. So we put the wall up and made that side the bedroom because it had a window. Because
now you could say, if you ever resold this house, you could say four bedrooms.
And
officially,
three,
yes.
Yeah, 4 bedrooms, 3.5 beds.
Man, right. So she was working, because the lady you go to, Mom, is someone that I actually went to, who when I bartended at Glory Days, introduced you to.
Right.
What is her name? Yeah, I've totally,
Sandy.
So Sandy, Sandy's a lovely woman who used to always come into the bar when I was bartending. Yeah. Then she did my hair once, that giant pink mohawk, which I still love her to death because I loved it.
Yeah.
Don't have that anymore, obviously. Yeah. And then she worked out of her house for a little while.
Yes,
she did.
So
yes,
that's
she
what
did.
This lady did, maybe?
Yes.
Like
yes.
She?
Oh, no, she did. Yes.
Yeah. The former owner here worked out of the house.
Yes.
Which is kind of strange because this place was like almost like a cul-de-sac. Like it would take a little while to get to. You had to come off of like, which... At that time, no parkway.
Yeah, you had to come off of Hoos and Pohick Road.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
To get here.
Yeah.
We should have kept it, and I should be a beautician.
No.
We could all be a beautician over here.
In my basement.
Yeah, so Springfield, so we went to, so all the friends I know are because of the decisions you guys made.
Yeah.
That's correct.
About going to Sangster.
We got as far as the best school system. Sangster is still rated way up there as the best. And to be honest, like Braddock is way up there.
Oh, too. For sure.
I mean, it's sometimes you may not think that, but if you
went
compare
to sixth grade in Sangster, and then seventh and eighth grade in high school.
Yeah, whenever it's funny because whenever I tell people I went to a secondary school, they give me like, "Aw,
what's a secondary?"
Yeah, like, "Aw, you're a little bit slow. Are you okay?" Like it's just, it's funny you get because they don't know. They don't know. Yeah. They don't. Yeah. They've
secondary
here out here. You know, at a class of like 900, 850, I think was our graduating class.
Yeah.
They don't know. Like, I think even Josh was telling me that his graduating class was like 600, 700, which is huge.
Down.
It's just crazy to think that I never went to a middle school. Like, I just don't know what a middle school is to me because it was I had high schoolers beating me up.
Yeah.
So from 7th, 8th, 9th grade. So instead of some middle school, everyone being the same age, we went straight from Sangster to... you know, basically from going
high school.
Yeah, from being the cool 6 year old or a sixth grader all of a sudden to a giant high school with people running track and going to the Olympics. Like that's
you had, I think at that time you had close to 3,500, 3,700 students.
That's so crazy to me. And that's such a huge push away from like a middle school or something like that, where I think middle school is supposed to get you ready for a big high school.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had Teresa, who was, I say luckily, but I think she was the worst to me. So I can't even say luckily. I think she was one of the meanest ones to me.
She prepped you.
Oh, she prepped me. All right. I remember, so she was 3 years older than me. So if I was in seventh grade, she's in 10th.
Yeah.
And I just remember like being like, "Hey, sis, where is this?" She's like, "Shut up, Leo. I'm hanging out with my friends."
Yeah.
That's what siblings do.
Yeah. And still we squabble. She just left here recently with Nathan. So it's funny that we were still squabbling even now.
You'll do it forever, but you'll always be brother and sister. Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of how you guys met. And I again, could not thank you enough. Cause like you said, we got these schools, you know, mom, you're working two jobs and I cannot believe that I had no idea that literally for 30 years, you guys have known each other. My mind, I was thinking like maybe 25 or something like when you were in the townhouse.
We've known each
other. We met shortly after I came back from Japan.
So as much credit as I give you, mom, for, you know, working two jobs and being there for us.
I never worked two jobs.
See,
I wasn't quite sure where you got that.
See, that's for me, that's why I wanted to talk about this because I've always, I think it was even something Teresa said where it was like, she would work, because
I worked for the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I worked one job. I never worked two jobs. I never worked a part-time job. I don't know. Maybe in your mind you thought I did.
No, I think this is something that maybe Teresa said, like we, like in the same vein of just like, you know, she's your mom. She's doing all this for you. And when I'm a kid, all I see you is working and working and nonstop. I'm like, where is she going? What is she doing? She's taking care of us. She must be working.
I was going to school as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she maybe was thinking that was, but I've never worked two jobs.
But you've done, that's still, don't shy away from that. That's pretty damn impressive.
Oh, I know.
You're going to school. I feel like I remember it. I don't think it was Nova.
You went with me.
I feel like
for a PE class.
Okay.
I think I made up my mind that it would be a fun thing for you.
Yeah.
Because of your age, they had gym equipment in there.
Yeah.
And you were curious. So I said, well, just come with me. All we do is jump on the.
How old was I then?
You were probably like seventh or eighth grade, I would guess.
Jeez.
So you went to the class with me, and I let you get on the equipment they had there.
And that was another way of my seeing your mom, because she was taking math classes.
Oh, yeah.
And I was very good at math.
Very good at math.
Right.
And I came over and helped her with her math.
Right. We would sit for hours, and he would help me with math, because I didn't have the background.
Yeah.
So I had to take all these basic classes just to get up to the first level.
And what, being from West Virginia,
right?
You went to Sandstone.
Sandstone. I graduated from, I started off at a one-room school on the mountain. And at grade six.
Irish Mountain, for those listening. Yeah. There's
Irish
a,
Mountain, yeah. West Virginia.
Mountain where she grew up.
It was a one-room school. And we left there when I was in sixth grade. And then I went to Sandstone. It was very similar to Lake Braddock. You had kind of like the sixth grade here, and then you transitioned to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I graduated from, a class of 25.
So when you say you didn't have that background, you weren't very good at math, was that because of Sandstone? Was that because of West Virginia?
Because they didn't offer. I didn't have. I don't remember having algebra in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or advanced.
Whereas
algebra.
Tom was in California in college. He'd been through trigonometry, algebra.
Yeah.
And I really didn't have the opportunity.
It's very interesting, like how you can, even in a public school, where you went to private, right?
Well, initially, but mm-hmm. I graduated from a public high school.
Yeah. So it's just funny to have, like, how you can have such drastic different changes even from a public school okay. system.
Oh, sure.
But it being, like, what maybe they're getting you ready for, because that's kind of what...
Yeah. And maybe now, I'm sure they offer all that now, but mm-hmm. this was back in 1968 I graduated, so ninth grade, 1964 time frame. So, I mean, they didn't have a lot. Mm-hmm. They focused more on future homemakers of America and future farmers of America.
Yeah. And at that time, would I be incorrect to say coal miners as well in West Virginia?
That was the occupation that most people had. They were farmers or coal miners.
Mm.
That was it. So they were not looking for advanced algebra to go into the coal mines.
It's funny because, like, you don't even think about it, because now when we were in high school, it was the same system. You would do algebra, then you would, if you wanted to, and you wanted to get some AP classes, you go to statistics and things like that.
Right. No, we just didn't have all those opportunities. We had typing, we had bookkeeping, business kinds of classes. I remember those very well. And that helped to get us ready for the job market.
I was going to say, which is very interesting that, you know, you had these great classes in California and then you went to
college
at
University of California, Santa Barbara.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
What would you do after class?
My downfall, I'd go out the dorm and go on to the beach and do surfing.
Just right out the dorm.
Yep.
Don't call that a downfall. I'm jealous. That's amazing.
Didn't do my grades any good.
Yeah. But I, to be honest, I wanted to do this because I had no idea, and I really, really appreciate you two sitting down.
Yeah.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
And just talking, because for me, I'm just like how? Like, you both, obviously, even individually, you gave me so much. You gave me so much. Yeah. Together, you gave me where I am now.
But we took you guys out on trips.
Well,
country.
Well, hold on. That's when it gets really deep, because that's when I started knowing, like, when we went these RV trips. Oh, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to get to do stuff that nobody is probably going to do. Well, granted, when we're there, we're super young, and Teresa doesn't want to be there, and I don't want to be by Teresa, and all these things.
Juliet was
on the first couple. So it's like, I don't want to be here. But then I think back, I'm like, oh my goodness. I've been to the Four Corners. I've been... Yeah. To all the states. I've been to, like, I've touched everything. We went to Circus in Vegas. We've all these memories and so these things. It's like you don't even.
That's right.
I'm very lucky. But yes, like, it's, I wish I knew what I knew now, and then we could go back in my body and go be like, oh, let's really experience this and not be like, oh, Arizona crater, cool.
Yeah, that
and walk
one you,
away. It's
that
like,
one you did like.
Oh, because I love space. Like, I love space.
Even at that age, you loved the crater.
I love space. Yeah. And now there's apparently some walkway that goes over the crater, just like a little bit, much like there is now at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So there's a little bit, but the Grand Canyon is the one that goes out super far, and you look down through the glass. And we did the Grand Canyon. It's like, I remember... You guys went down on mules or something, and I didn't.
I went on a mule.
Yeah. I did.
Teresa went on a horse, and I went on a mule.
Yeah. Mom and Teresa, and I had you because you weren't. You didn't.
No.
You didn't.
Was this, okay, so was this before or after that horse riding incident where I was on a horse next to Michael Rose?
Oh, that was.
I'm guessing after.
I think it was after.
No, because that was in Yosemite.
Okay.
And you hadn't gone, you two hadn't gone to Yosemite until. A couple of years.
Okay, so I got the cojones to get on a horse.
Yes.
And then that did me wrong because this horse...
Michael was on another horse.
Yep, we were right next to each other, I remember.
And the horses didn't like each other.
Yep.
And they were starting to bite and fight. And then...
And they were biting Michael's leg, and they were, like, hitting me.
Yeah. And then one took off with Michael.
God. Oh my goodness.
It did, didn't
it? And mine started just kind of, like, jaunt a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to get thrown off this thing. I'm going to get thrown off, or I'm going to get, like, run over or something.
Yeah. But the Michael's horse took off with him, and the Cowboys had to go out running after him.
Jeez. Where was that?
That was Yosemite.
That was Yosemite
National Park.
Yosemite National Park.
That's Arizona.
No, that's California.
So when did we do... So I guess we went to Tahoe, too? Was that, that less of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We took two trips.
Yeah.
Across country.
Yeah. Okay.
There was
so two, it was only two? I thought it was three.
Two big trips.
It was... Wasn't it two trips?
I thought...
Two big trips with you guys. Big trips with Julie and when Michelle was small. And...
Okay, so not... I thought it was two. I could have sworn it was three.
No, I think it was two because two.
Well, the first did go later and took you guys to Yosemite.
Okay,
we went directly from here to Yosemite.
Yeah,
in an RV, which we did
both
before.
Times. Yes.
Okay,
yeah, both times. The first time there was four of us. It was you, Teresa, Julie, and Michael.
Michael.
Okay.
The second time it was you, Teresa, and Mike. I think Julie was with her mom then.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was a little bit.
Older.
Yeah. Also, I remember, it's just funny because you, like I said, even I was just like, ugh, I don't want to be here. Now if I had the opportunity to go on this trip again, I'd be like, let's go. Like,
well, that's,
let's
that's,
go see the Four Corners. Let's see the Indian reservations.
Fun at the...
I did. Oh, no, I'm not saying I didn't have fun.
At Yosemite because we saw the giant redwoods there.
Oh, yeah.
And...
we went in that. I remember walking in that house that... The electromagneticism was all off everywhere. And, obviously, this is when we were younger, so we didn't have cell phones either.
Yeah.
But now people bring their cell phones there, and they're instant loss of service.
Yes.
I think when we were there, you couldn't drive through the tree because there was something wrong with it.
Yeah.
It was down.
It was down. We weren't able to drive through the tree anymore, but you could drive on it.
Yep.
But you got out. We got out, and you walked all over. Well,
for sure. I'm saying that, but also, Yellowstone. I loved Yellowstone, but I feel like I remember just being parked in an RV waiting for a buffalo to cross the street.
Yes.
I remember there being no railings at any of the hot springs, which you fall into and you melt.
That's
so it's like when we were younger, they were like, who cares? If they fall in, it's their fault. Now it's like I went to go see, Old Faithful, and literally every 15 minutes of things popping off.
Yeah. Which is unusual, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to pop off every 15, 20 minutes.
So, yeah, that's some giant volcano under there that we're probably all going to melt one day. Or at least us on the West Coast. You guys will all run. I'll scamper to you guys when I'll pack up the car and come running.
Yeah, it's a giant, what they call a giant caldera.
Yeah.
And
sitting under many, many states because it's just.
It's the whole park of Yellowstone.
Geez.
It's a giant caldera.
And I remember when we were in Yellowstone, too, there was a whole wolf issue. Like, no one had seen a wolf because they were kind of, endangered.
Yeah. At that point in time, they were considered endangered.
But on our way out, I remember...
No, they're not.
Yeah. And on our way out, I remember we saw a wolf on, a cliff. And we're like, that's awesome. Because it was we had not seen one the whole time.
That's right.
On our drive out, we look up, and there it was sitting.
Highly unusual.
Yeah. That was very cool.
Sitting up on the cliff.
So, I appreciate the trips. I guess just a couple more minutes of your time... How was I as a kid? And the reason I'm asking is because I came home. We saw Nathan, who is my sister's son, with his fantastic father, Jeff. He's a kid. He's a 2.5-year-old, and I love him to death. Teresa loves him to death, but they run you around. So was I the same way? I feel like I was worse. Was I worse?
You were as a 2-year-old. You were pretty laid back.
Yeah.
And I think the years that go on, you tend to forget that detail. You really do.
I mean, speaking of things that are on my face, injury-wise, I remember running around your Woodbridge house.
Yes.
If this is a true story.
It is.
Putting Army Man in the oven, turning on the oven. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
If you might have known, this might be too late to tell you. putting an Iron Man with Eric, helping us, seeing them melt.
Yeah.
And then I remember running around and I tripped and fell and face planted on a gun case.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I still have, that line through my eyebrow.
Yeah.
Where that gun case was.
Yeah.
And I remember, I can't remember if it was that or if it was the nose, but you were standing over me, if I remember, in the doctor's office saying it's not going to hurt, like, stitches wise. Because I was getting stitches and all I could see was my face covered and just a little bit through the nose or the wherever it was. I'm getting, again, these confused because you're young. Right. You don't really have the full thing.
The eyes covered.
Because I remember.
All you do is work on the
okay, so I think that was you just being, it's going to be fine.
Because you called. I was at work.
Yeah.
For some reason, you were home. I don't know. Yeah, but you called me. And
taking a day off. Well-deserved day off.
I came flying home. Yeah. But may have been already stitched by the time I got here. But I do remember that.
Man, I just remember, I feel like I was a really awful kid.
No, actually. No,
you were very laid back.
You are, as a kid.
So I guess I've changed. So now I'm a really awful adult, but I was a great kid.
We were kind of worried about you because you were so laid back.
Really?
All through school.
Yeah.
And even in most of your high school, you were very laid back.
I was pretty laid back.
You didn't rock the boat like.
Well, I also didn't make a ton of friends other than Paul and stuff like that because I was a chubby fat kid through high school.
Teresa was really the one who went out for sports.
Yeah.
She went out for
softball. She was great
soccer.
At.
What else was she?
I mean, everything I played, I failed at, so I'm glad I didn't.
You played softball, basketball.
Basketball was awful. Don't even get me started.
You played basketball. You played soccer.
Yeah. I remember you were on the church team. You did pretty well.
Yeah, and I remember in the church team, whenever they'd ask who wants to be shirts versus skins, everyone made me be skins because I'd take my shirt off. And I was like, no, I don't want to take my shirt off. Don't make me take my shirt off. Now I'm like, I'll take my shirt off all the time. Let's get
and
crazy.
And then you really got into all, you really enjoyed those video games.
That's how people know me best on this thing.
That's what you really, really, really enjoyed.
By the way, there's a Atari game being offered through Bed Bath & Beyond for a remake of Atari for only $30.
See, I remember. I think we were talking about it actually when we went to dinner yesterday with Aunt Ellen and Uncle Roger about, you know, your brother's son got me into video games.
Christopher,
Christopher, I remember walking into that house.
He had the whole thing set up.
Well, you had like Nintendo, we played Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I remember him being an older, like, how much older is Chris than me?
He's Teresa's age.
Okay. So not much older, 3 years.
Yeah.
So
maybe 4.
4 years older than me. I just remember him being like, whoa, he's so cool.
Yeah.
He's older and he plays video games and he's got this
he's
one that looks 3D. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
He works for a company.
And then there was another moment that I think that really sold me was we went to Florida and we stayed at, you know, God bless his soul, Spitaleri's house.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah.
Spitaleri's house and his son
was into it.
Had a Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
And then guess what? When I got back, can I get a Sega Genesis?
Yeah, his son was big into it.
Oh, man. I remember I was probably such a brat, too, about that stuff.
You know, you were never. You were actually.
Because there was Sega Genesis, there was Atari, there was Super Nintendo. You guys let me get one. I got Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, I had to go over Paul Dumas' house to play.
But you got a lot of the games around Christmas.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's like that made me like the person I am today. I love it, and I want to do that. I want to either make or be in them for sure. And that's a living that I'm still trying for.
You got a lot of different games.
Yeah, and
you could easily do it. Sometimes you tell me not to sell myself short.
Yeah,
you need to. Think that too.
For sure.
Don't sell yourself short. You can do anything you want to do. Anything you put your mind to, you can do it.
Heck yeah.
You were an easy child to bring up. Even with all of us, you never did rock the boat that much as far as giving us a hard time.
Teresa was tougher to bring up. Julie was tough to bring up.
The girls were harder, sure.
Yeah.
You were laid back. Very often did you get upset. And even when you moved in with all your different roommates, it kind of always amazed me how you could live with people and not.
I mean, there's one time I remember getting pretty upset. And there's one time again when I don't think any of you really yelled at me. But there was one time I remember Mom saying, like, she was on the verge. And it was it was before the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie came out. I was watching the TV show and everything. I wanted this one action figure for Christmas. And it was probably October or November.
Yeah.
And I would nonstop say, so can I just get the Green Ranger early? Can I just get the green? Like, I just want the Green Ranger. And then I remember after probably a month, I don't know, in my kid thought, I'm thinking a month, maybe like a month and a half of saying, can I just get the Green Ranger? And I remember Mom charging in my room, which is upstairs, looking me in the face and go, I'm going to say this probably as I remember it as a kid. So pardon my language. You want the fucking Green Ranger?
I didn't say the F-word.
Here it is. And you threw it on the bed and you're like, thanks a lot. And you just, I remember storming out. That's what I remember as a kid.
I know I didn't use the F word. I know I didn't do that.
I said kid logic. So me just staring at my mom, who I've probably never seen yell at me, go, you want the Green Ranger? You got him.
I remember that because I had searched all over and found the Green Ranger and had him wrapped ready for Christmas. So I wanted it to be...
Again, searching for a toy that she can't look on the internet. She can't go to Amazon and buy.
Right. It was a hard one to find.
Yeah.
And I found it somewhere. Somewhere in Suitland. And I had it all wrapped, had your name on it from Santa, and every day, where's the Green Ranger? Where's the Green Ranger? I guess you just wore me down, and I did it. Here is the damn Green Ranger.
Okay, it might have been damn. I'll take a damn.
Was a damn, but I know it wasn't the F word.
Oh man, that's how I remember it. But that's how, like, looking at your kid who's probably never really been yelled at, just being like, oh God, what have I done? And then that point I get it, I'm like, meh, do I really want it?
Every night before you went to bed, you begged for the Green Ranger, Green Ranger, Green Ranger, Green Ranger, Green Ranger.
Man.
Oh, I can't take it anymore.
and now like thinking about it and seeing like Teresa with Nathan
kind of
who's
thing.
Two and a half, I'm like, oh man.
It's the same thing.
She's got it coming. Yeah. She's got it coming.
But you were a little bit older than not too much. You might have been
four.
Yeah, four or five, something like that. Because it was here. You were in that room upstairs.
And obviously, like, Teresa's got you two.
Oh, yeah. I'd be older than five.
Oh, for sure. I think I was pretty old. Let's be honest. Well, I was probably a little dirtbag.
You absolutely loved those Power Rangers.
One.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I stopped playing with action figures until I was 17.
So he had to be seven or eight.
Probably.
I feel like I didn't stop playing with action figures until I was, I remember Paul and I still have, that's true. I would still probably buy an action figure. That is true. In my house, I have a bunch of Ninja Turtles. That's true. That's a good point.
That's why you need, if that's your interest in life, go for it.
Heck yeah.
Do something with the gaming industry.
You love Ninja Turtles, I know that.
That is, that's very good to hear. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm 32, but I know what I want to do. It's just hard to get there, and takes a path, and
you
keep fighting, and you know it's good to have people have your back.
So what is it you really want to do?
Every day I think about it, I just want to be involved in video games.
In what way?
Not knowing the background of, you guys sent me C++ recently, I've been looking at that, but not really good, because video games are basically math.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Video games are basically math, in a lot of ways, where it's like, you know, if X, then Y. If you do this, then this needs to happen. Yeah, but it's a programming language, which kind of you need to know math and like.
But you need a storyline too.
For sure, and I think that's where I would rather fall in.
And you need creative figures.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I would rather fall in is to just be even a voice. There's a guy named Troy Baker who is the voice of video games, and he's in everything.
I think that's your high point.
For sure, and
your ability to work a crowd.
I mean,
you really do have that.
Oh, for sure. And I appreciate that. I need to start believing that as well.
You have to believe.
You know,
that's why.
Living in LA for 6 years, I feel like it's kind of been beaten down, but I need to go. When I go back, I'm going to have a lot more resolve than what I did when I was there.
That's why I say Toastmasters does so much because I beat myself up.
This episode's sponsored by Toastmasters.
I beat myself up for years at work.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it.
So,
and I'm like, I can do it. I can do it as good as anybody else can do it.
Yep.
You got to keep telling yourself that.
So, speaking of that, that's a nice transition. Mom, congratulations.
Thank you.
46 years.
Yes.
You are now officially retired.
That's correct.
We're going to do a fun little thing. On this podcast, we normally review a TV show or a movie or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Since I have two retired people that I probably will not get a chance to ask this question to in my regular everyday life in LA, I want you to review retirement. Now, how do we do it? We review it in three words, followed by a cat meow on this podcast. So just, Dad, you've been retired longer. Give me three words on what you think about retirement.
I can do what I want.
I can do what I want. Okay, that's five, but I'll allow it. Yeah. I'll allow it. And then what do you love about retirement? Is that you can do what you want?
Yeah. Retirement now is a little different than it was 4 years ago.
But will be again. I mean, you're...
Yeah, it will be again.
Exactly.
You can get up when you want.
Yeah.
If you have a list of things you want to do, and you go down your list for that day, we'll say, and you have five things and you get to four, you put the other thing on the next day.
Yeah.
Or towards the end of the week, say, I'll do something different tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you can visit with your kids more, mm-hmm. which is what was good. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that you can do kind of what you want when you want.
Yeah. That's very good. I very much appreciate that.
That doesn't mean there aren't things for you to do.
Yeah.
Whether it's around the house or something like that. But I can, put down, mow the lawn, cut this, edge that, do that, this, the other thing. And you just mark them off as you get them done.
Yeah. And if you don't get them done, hey. There it is. If you don't get them done, hey, just throw your hands in the air.
Exactly.
I appreciate that. Mom, you were a little bit worried.
Hopefully
that's not too personal, but.
No. I was just a little bit worried. Well, part of mine was, I think I kind of held on to security too because of the whole situation that I went through early in life. And mm-hmm. I thought, I got a good job now. I'm going to stay with this forever.
You kind of did for 46 years.
But I had good people and a good job and I enjoyed it. So it was all good.
Yeah.
And the thing when I think about retirement, it might be more than three words, but more time with family and friends.
Cool.
That's what it comes
to. You know what?
Yeah.
Who cares about three words in this situation, followed by a meow? Because you guys just keep saying the exact same thing. Yeah, so we basically do this thing called, it's three-word review followed by a sexy cat meow.
Yeah.
But it's whatever the hell you want to
do. I encourage Mom to definitely retire because she can now call her friends, Norma Brown, good friend, Bonnie, good friend.
Bonnie doing P90X. We talk about P90X a lot on this podcast.
She's still doing it.
She does P90X, and she's, 65?
60s. I think she's 65.
Dang. That's very impressive. From somebody who has done P90X in the past, that is very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But you go at your own pace.
Yeah. So, and Mom has some good friends at work. I encourage her to go out to lunch with them or go on a Thursday night. They have a Thursday night deal while
happy
she
hour.
Was working. A happy hour. And I said, well, why do you change your happy hour just because you're retired?
Yeah.
Keep going out.
Keep going.
Oh,
go.
I plan to.
So, go up.
So I encourage her to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Here's a nice card from one of my friends. So.
What does that say?
Want me to read it?
Read it.
Okay.
Well, first off, what kind of card is it?
It's a kind of a retirement card.
Okay.
Veronica, you want to hear it all?
I want to hear it all.
I want to wish you love and best wishes on your retirement. I hope you know how much I cherish your friendship. I never would have survived O and I. The kids.
So O and I was where you worked, Office of Naval Intelligence.
Yeah.
I would never have survived Ellen, I, the kids, and Gary, that's her husband, without your support and counsel.
Oh, God, sorry, Gary.
There will be a hole in my heart now that you are gone. Although I won't see you 5 days a week as I have for the past 35 plus years,
damn.
I truly hope you will stay in touch. We have too many shared memories not to. I wish you the very best as you start this new chapter of your life. Love, Sharon. That was a co-worker.
That's Sharon.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a co-worker for...
Is she the cake lady?
No, she wasn't the cake lady.
Okay.
This is a lady I've worked with for 35
years. I definitely
years.
Recognize the name Sharon.
Yeah. Sharon Suter. You may have met her once upon a time when you were little when I took you in for open house. I mean, that was 100 years ago. So...
I mean, I remember that blind guy and I remember David.
He passed away, the blind guy.
Yeah, but I remember David who showed me a snake on his Apple computer when he's supposed to be working.
That he's retired now. He's back in Philly. So.
Well, maybe next time we'll talk about your work experience now because this is more the retired thing. You obviously... we don't want to talk about it now, but you dealt with a spy in your who was directly in your office.
That's true.
And I remember seeing him on the news and stuff.
Yep, he worked directly in our spaces.
So no more spies for you.
No more spies to deal with.
Yep, all that old information. Well, I appreciate you too. Thank you for allowing me in your home and allowing me to talk to you for a little while.
It was our pleasure.
I think I learned. I'm really glad I did this because you don't ask these questions until maybe you know you just don't even think about them. So I'm glad I asked these questions. I'm glad I got to know just a little more about it because again, which kind of even sparked it too was Julie put that message on my Facebook was like, well, he's been around since too. And I was like, I don't remember this.
Yeah.
And that was crazy to me to even think about it. I was like, wait, what has he? So that like that kind of sparked this conversation. And then obviously Mom, you've done more than I can ever imagine. And I love you forever. Yeah. And Dad, you've done more for me than I could even believe.
Yeah. I've known you since you were two years old.
I know.
And trucked you around in cardboard.
Exactly. And for my mind, it's like, boom, I didn't think about that in that regard.
You love to do that.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was at Mom's house.
So I appreciate that. And I love you guys. Yeah. I'm glad I got to come here. And thank you guys for listening. You can find us again. If this is fun, we're going to have Josh and we're going to have Brian interview his parents and his family. And one day maybe we can all be together and all have a nice conversation about how we are and who we are. So that's the biggest important thing. Congratulations again, Dad. You've been retired for how many years now?
7 years.
Cool. That's amazing. Mom, you look forward to that.
Almost 2 weeks now.
Almost 2 weeks after 46 years.
Actually, Mom looks younger.
She looks fantastic. Yeah, I said that too.
That she did 3 weeks
ago. Well, we're going to talk more about how great my mom looks on a different podcast. But I appreciate it. Again, find us on www.normallynormal.com. You can check us out if you have any favor for the podcast. If you want to ask any questions to my fabulous dad or to my fabulous mom, send us some Twitter questions on @normally_norm with the hashtag save it for the podcast. But for this, bye!